Happy Lord's Day to you. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning, if you will. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but then we will be going to the book of Deuteronomy after that. And I appreciate you being here this morning. I hope that you've had a good week in the Lord. And I hope you've been praying for the services. I'm looking forward to hearing Pastor this morning in the preaching hour. And as I pray for him, unfortunately he did get sick this past week, but he's better. Hallelujah. And I hate it when our pastor's sick. I hate it when he's not here. And so let's do pray for him. Continue to ask the Lord to speak to us. And ask the Lord to speak to us this morning as well as we go through his word. As we look at the mind of God concerning families, concerning you and I and his word. It's so vitally important that we understand just how precious God's word is. And there are many people, including those who claim to be believers, that don't put much value in the Word of God. We need to. This is a wonderful, wonderful treasure that God has given us. And I just praise his name for it. Before we get started, Brother Nathan, would you open us in prayer? Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 15. I would imagine this is a very familiar passage of Scripture with you. And if it isn't, I hope that it will become one. Very, very important to understand that Scriptures, the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven, that won't change, it tells us that we need a Savior, and it tells us how to have a Savior and who the Savior is. And that's a blessing. And the reason I want to bring this out this morning is what the Bible says, where Paul was encouraging Timothy through this epistle unto him. He says, and from a child, in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. As we see this letter from Paul to Timothy, his son in the faith, and by the way, the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy aren't just for Timothy. And let's do not get lost in this mindset, well, that doesn't apply to us because that was just specifically written to him. Or because Timothy was a preacher, all that just applies to preachers. Brothers and sisters, everything that we find in the Word of God is profitable for all of us. And we need to embrace it. When we think about the Old Testament, by the way, I'll ask you to go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 now. Deuteronomy chapter 4, when you think about what God would have us to do, I realize that what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 is addressed to the nation of Israel. I realize that. And we also need to realize that Jesus referred to the Scriptures many times in the New Testament. Amen. Amen. And what he was referring to was the Old Testament. Yeah. And what he also was doing was putting his stamp of approval on it, because first of all, he's the author and finisher of the Word of God. But he wants us to know that even though the Old Testament is mainly written to the Jews, and to the nation of Israel, it is profitable to each and every one of us. And he talked about how, search the Scriptures. Talking about salvation, he said, you'll find out that salvation is of me. And so what a blessing it is that the Lord helps us to realize that we need the Scriptures, that we have the Scriptures in written form. Do you realize that there are still languages around the world that don't have the Word of God translated to that language? We have a wonderful blessing in our hands this morning. And I hope that you're reading the Word of God, not just on Sundays, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every single day. I hope you're at least reading one chapter. I would encourage you to read three. You can get through the whole Bible that way if you just read three chapters a day, and maybe more. However the Lord leads you, but stay in the Word of God. And as we think about this, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you know, it says in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Notice it did not mention mind. Do we need the Word of God in our mind? Absolutely. We need to ponder, meditate in the Word of God. That's where we use our mind. But he wants it hidden down into our heart, or our soul, if you will. He wants the Word of God embedded in you. And of course, the psalmist said that, you know, thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. But here it says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou. Do you realize that God is speaking to the person individually first? That thou there, a lot of people, they say they have a confusion with the King James Version of the Bible. They don't understand what thou is. It's you. Okay? Just change the TH for a Y and you'll be okay. As far as understanding it, I'm not asking you to change the Word of God. And yes, it may be an ancient English word, but it's okay. You're able to understand this stuff. I promise you. Even children can understand this stuff. And so please keep that in mind. But here it says, and thou, you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Well, what is he talking about? Look at verse 1. You said, but you told me to start in verse 5. I know. Look at verse 1 if you would. Always when you're reading Scripture, read what's before, read what's after. Make sure you compare Scripture with Scripture, subject matter with subject matter, precept with precept, line upon line. Okay? It's important for you to get a clear understanding of what the Word of God is. But what is God commanding them to teach to the children? Verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Again, a lot of this is based on the promises that he made to Israel through Abraham, how that he was going to take them to a place, and that land would be theirs. And by the way, it's still theirs. Israel. That whole area is theirs. And they have given up territory, unfortunately. But God's going to restore everything. We don't have to worry about that. He's still in control. But here, God not only wants us to teach our family the Word of God. Do you realize we cannot teach our family the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God? I mean, sure, you can read it out loud, but what good is it if you don't apply it? Now, he said, if you will look at it again, trying to find it. When you put it in your heart, okay, you've got to know what it says. There are many people familiar with what the Bible says. And I hope that you understand there's a difference in being familiar with it and knowing it. Many people are familiar with it. Many people can even quote verses out of the Bible. Satan's good at that, by the way. Okay? But then we need to know it. We must spend time in the Word of God. And sadly, the Bible is hardly touched in many families that are in church today. They don't open it, but God wants us to open it. He wants us to know it. He says in verse 2 of Deuteronomy, no wonder I couldn't find it. I was reading over in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Y'all should have called me out on that. Listen, I make mistakes, as you can tell. But I was in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Y'all should have flagged me down. Hey, brother Beck, I need that. Okay, help me. But when you think about it, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, God is talking unto Israel, but notice he wants his word to go to all the nations. Has that changed? No, God is still wanting his word to be pronounced, to be proclaimed to all the nations, because God is not willing that any should perish. But wisdom comes from the word of God. Understanding comes from the word of God. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so high unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to who?
Thyself.
Isn't it amazing how we're so worried about others? That we're so worried about if this person's living up to the right thing. Does this person know the word of God? Whereas first we need to take heed to ourselves. Take heed to thyself. And keep thy soul. What's that next word? Diligently. Diligently is defined as with steady application and care. Not carelessly. Not negligently. How many people today who claim to be Christians are negligent towards the word of God? And then when problems arise and things are going awry, why? Why is this happening? Well, I think it's because we've neglected God's word. But keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons. So not only am I supposed to know the word of God, I'm supposed to teach it to my children, my sons. Do you see that? And then it says this, and thy sons' sons. Grandparents, God expects us to share the word of God with our grandchildren. Now, we do run into this problem. Well, they're not your children. We hear that from our children. And we'll be the ones to teach them what we want them to believe. But here, God commands us to teach it not only to our children, but to their children. You have a responsibility. And it doesn't mean to be forceful. It doesn't mean to, you know, bully your way into it. And sometimes we can do that. We do have authority from God. We have the authority from God to teach to our grandchildren the word of God. But we want to make sure that we can continue to have a relationship with our children. How many of you have ever been berated by somebody else with the word of God? Did you want to hear the word of God from them after that? Absolutely not. But we should always be an example. That's why I brought up, even though I was reading wrongly in chapter 6, which we are going to chapter 6, might as well go there. You know, I first need to be reading the word of God myself. Studying the word of God myself. Applying the word of God myself. And then teach it to my children. There are many today that are absolutely content with allowing others to train their children the word of God. Now listen, should we let others train our children the word of God? Absolutely, it's important. Do we trust our pastor to train our children the word of God? We have Sunday school teachers up here teaching children the word of God, and we need to be able to trust that they're going to teach them the word of God. But first, they need to hear it at home. They need to hear it at home first. And sadly, what happens is the only Bible a lot of children get are what they hear at church on Sunday and maybe even Wednesday. But God wants us to have his word present in our home every day. Every single day. Teach them. And so when you look at that, it's a wonderful thing that God has given us. How many of you are familiar with Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God did not give that verse to the school. He did not give that verse to the church. Listen to me. He gave that commandment to the parents. Now, the problem that we have run into today is the world is telling us that we need to let a child decide for themselves what they want to believe. Yes or no? They are. And they're enforcing that. And yet, what is the world teaching our children forcefully? That God's not real. That you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. Right? If you want to be an animal, you can be an animal. If you want to be the opposite gender, you can be the opposite gender. But that's not at all what God teaches us. But yet the world is adamant about telling us what we can't teach our children, even though we have authority from God, what to teach our children. Amen. Now here's the thing. If you won't train your children, Satan will. Are you listening to me? Satan is adamant about trying to train our children because he wants to destroy them. He does not want them to know who God really is. And when we think about all these things, listen, how many of you would trust a 16-year-old to make financial decisions on buying a home? Buying a car. Now, you know, 16-year-olds, they got their license, hopefully. Sure, they ought to have in their mind that they would want to purchase a car. But mentally, they are not capable to make all the correct decisions because of immaturity. Because of lack of experience. And therefore, we are to guard them. Yes, we can help them to make decisions at that age. We let them make decisions, but based on knowledge. Based on knowledge. If our children never hear God, about God in our homes, and all they hear is when they're out in the world that God isn't who he says he is, or God is something else than what the Bible says he is, we're going to have problems. And we're going to lose generation after generation, as we are seeing take place in our generation. Amen. We're seeing it now. Amen. God's word is not foolish. God's word always proves itself to be true. Amen. And so when we think of what is going on, many people are going to stand before the Lord and give an account and be shameful before him because they neglected to teach their children the word of God. And just because you teach your children the word of God doesn't mean that they're always going to follow the Lord or even get saved. But at least they will have the information. How many of you understand what I'm saying there? How many of you have children away from the Lord? I do. Did I teach them? Yes. They have the knowledge. But that doesn't mean that they're going to choose it. You know, when Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," you know, Joshua 24:15, hey, we've got to make our decision. But remember, there is that age of accountability, and as long as our children are in our home and under our authority, we're accountable to God for what they learn. We're accountable to God for the decisions that we allow them to make. Now, I want my children to choose the Lord. I want my children to want to serve the Lord. But now they're at an age that I can't make those decisions for them. By the way, I can't make my children love the Lord, but boy, they can sure see if I love the Lord or not. Many things we need to realize are caught. We may teach all day long. We may, you know, talk until we're blue in the face and give scripture after scripture after scripture. But if we are not putting it into practice ourselves, they see the hypocrisy. Amen. You've heard pastors say many times, our kids are not stupid. They're not. They see whether you're for real or not. And we need to understand, first of all, our children really are not our children. They are his children that he has loaned to us. And we need to put the investment in them that God wants, which is his word. Now, you think about what is taking place here. Deuteronomy chapter 4 through chapter 6. God is referring to his principles, to his commandments, to his statutes. He also covers the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. Are the Ten Commandments only for Israel? Do the Ten Commandments save you if you keep them? They can't, but they do teach us that we need a Savior. And when we think about our families, when we go back to chapter 6. I think you're already there. All right, well, look at what the Lord says. He wants the Word of God in our heart, verse 6. You're going to teach them diligently unto your children. Then you're going to speak about it to your children. You know, it's one thing to get up here and just read and read and read. But there's times that we need to give the understanding to what has been read. When you are teaching your children the Bible, You need to give them opportunity to talk about what you just read. Because how many of you have heard preaching and teaching and you had a question but you were afraid to ask because you felt like the person teaching you wasn't going to give you the time of day? Now, God wants us to be ready to give every man an answer for the hope that is in us. Why we believe what we believe. God wants us to be able to explain that to everyone. If we don't study the Bible, if we don't read the Bible for ourselves, we're not going to be able to explain things to other people. And much more importantly, we need to be able to explain these things to our children. Now, there's many things in the Bible that I'm asked, well, why is that? That I cannot answer why it is that way. Do you understand the things I'm talking about? Why did God do that? I don't know, but I know that God said that he did this. And because I can trust him, I'm going to follow and do what he says. Now, when we look at this, what he's telling us to do, he wants us to have the word of God in our heart. He wants us to talk about them with our children. And he also, look what he says, when thou sittest in thine house. This is how I know it's not the church house, it's not the schoolhouse. It's in our own homes. It's in our own homes. So when you're at home, hey, you need to be talking about the Lord. But then look what he says next. And when thou walkest by the way. When you are outside the doors of your home. When you are out and about. God still wants you to be talking about him and his commandments, his statutes. Do you hear that kind of conversation taking place today out in public when you see other families? Is it taking place in your family? We can talk about sports, fishing, hunting, but for some reason we want to start to whisper if we talk about the Lord. And I did say if. Why can't we be as loud and as boisterous talking about the Lord as we are sports? It's because the world has taught us that we should be ashamed that we're Christians. That we should be ashamed that we know God. But remember what Jesus said, if you'll deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. And I'm not saying that everywhere I go that I'm loud and boisterous and obnoxious, saying, oh, praise the Lord! You're going to turn a lot of people off that way. But at the same time, we should talk about the Lord. When's the last time you told someone that is not saved or that you don't know what God has done for you? You know, people see you, hopefully have a smile on your face most times. I know you're not going to have a smile on your face all the time. But when people, why are you so happy? Well, let me just tell you. It's good opportunities, is it not? You let people come to you. They're going to ask you. So think of these things. But we want our children to be accustomed not only hearing God in the home, but we want them to be accustomed to talking and hearing about God outside of the home. Now, it starts at home. That is the greatest influence we have on the next generation, is the generation that we're raising up in our home to teach them about the Word of God. When we think of that, it's an awesome responsibility. And listen, maybe it hasn't been done in your home the way it should be. That is no excuse to not start today. How many of you believe God is merciful? How many of you believe that he is forgiving?
Amen.
Long-suffering.
Amen.
How many of you realize he knows that you failed, but he's also willing to help you not fail? That's something we need to take into consideration. We can look at our failures and say, well, I just give up, I failed. No, you haven't failed yet. God can still help you if you allow him to. So, when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When does God, in generality, when does God want us talking about him? All the time. All the time. Is God on your mind all the time? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't say yes. Don't say no. But seriously, what do your thoughts concentrate on through the majority of the time in your day? Are you constantly thinking about the Lord? He wants you to be. He wants your children to be that way as well. And I want to encourage you to allow that to happen. And so when we look at that, that is wonderful. Be ready, no matter where you're at, to be thinking on the Lord, to use an opportunity to teach your children about the Lord. Can you use gardening as a Bible lesson? You plant seed in the ground. Does the Bible talk about in the New Testament? You put seed in the ground, it dies, and then what happens? It brings forth fruit. It starts to grow. New life comes from that dead seed, right? Just wonderful things. Can you take your kids up into the mountains or to the beach or to wherever you like to go on vacation and teach them about the Lord? How many of you think mountains are beautiful? You look up in the heavens at night, and I've talked about this before. I think I talked about it on Wednesday night. You look up into heaven on an unclouded night, and you know there's no light pollution. You look up and see all the stars, and the world says, that just happened. God says, no, I put those there. And by the way, the stars sing unto God. Did you know that? The stars sing unto him. He knows them by name. That's something. But here we are. Talk about the God. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. The Jews have these leather straps that they will wrap around their hands. And while they're doing that, they recite scripture. They recite scripture. How many of you have ever seen a Jewish person with a square box, you know, on the front part of their forehead here? Inside that box, from what I've been told, is scripture. Why? They want to keep their mind on the Lord. But let's be careful of this. We can put on outward appearances that we're thinking about God and that we know God. And we can put scripture in boxes on our foreheads as they did. And I'm not condemning them for doing this. This is what the Lord told them to do. But can we get so ritualistic that we forget why we're doing it and what it is? Absolutely. We can get so caught up in routines, even reading the Bible every day, it can become mundane and it becomes unmeaningful if we do not keep our hearts tender towards the Lord. And again, God not only wants us to teach our children, God wants our children to talk about these things, to ask about these things. And we'll get to that in just a little bit as well. But when you're, you know, on your hands and the frontlet between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. How many of you have scripture, you know, either in a picture frame or like we have, they've made these little, I don't know what you call this, I'm just going to call it sticker for lack of understanding, but you know, you put it on there, and we have a verse on the wall. Okay, it's there. But I don't read that verse every day. I don't meditate on that verse every day. And what I'm trying to say, a lot of people have put Joshua 24:15 in their house or at the entrance of their house. That's wonderful. But do you ponder on it every day? Do you live up to it every day? Now, we can do all the right actions, but we need to make sure we have our heart in everything that we do. That is for the Lord. Teaching the Ten Commandments, will that help our children? Will that hurt our children? It's supposed to help our children, right? Amen. How do I teach my children to love God? Well, first, Daddy has to love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many of us keep God's commandments? That's not for, you know, an outward answer, but it's for an inward inspection. Do we love God? Do we love God more than we love others? Does God want us to love him more than we love others? He sure does. But again, if our children don't see it in us, they're not really wanting to receive it for themselves. Because if it didn't make a difference in my life, how's it going to make a difference in their life? Does that make sense? And none of this is to bring about condemnation. None of this is to bring about shame. This is to bring about encouragement. I want you, if you haven't been doing it, do it. Start it. If you've gotten away from it, restart it. It's easy to get away from doing those things, isn't it? Boy, busy schedules today. Isn't it amazing how busy people are today? Have you ever passed yourself going down the road? You know, you saw yourself going in the opposite direction while you're heading. I'm just kidding, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. You can get so busy that you don't know what you're doing and you forget about the important things in life. And we just need to stop.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes we can just say no to the calls upon our life to be here or be there and do that and do this and just reflect upon God.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many people today are not in the house of God because, well, we've made plans. Now listen, it's not wrong to have plans. It's not wrong that you, not always wrong that you missed the house of the Lord, but what was the purpose that you missed? What was the reason, in other words? Many people say, well, this is the only day I have. This is my day. Well, the Bible says this is the Lord's day. Okay? And I realize people are so busy that Sunday may be the only day that they have time to get things done, but don't leave God out. You can still get things done and still have God in there. In fact, I ask you to put God first. He wants you to have him first. He deserves the preeminence, according to Colossians. That means first place. First place. Put God first. Let everything else fall in order. I'm not against sports. I'm against professional sports. Okay? But I'm not against kids playing baseball, soccer, football, whatever the case may be. But do you know that there are some sports activities that require your children to be at practice every single day?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now just think about it.
Amen.
And you're constantly running ragged. Oh, we got to get to practice. We got to get to the game. We don't have time to read our Bibles today. Well, you just made a wrong decision. But what are you teaching your child by making sure that they get to all the practices, but it's okay to miss church? You see where I'm going with this? We need to get back to putting God as the priority in our homes. We need to get back to making sure that God is in his rightful place so that our children don't say, well, you know, when I was a kid, it didn't really matter. And so why should it matter now if I didn't make time for God, if I didn't read the Word of God? I had a Bible my whole childhood. How many of you had a Bible your whole childhood? Do you know what my Bible did? It just sat there. It just sat there, never opened it. Didn't even take it to church. Now listen to me. But God wants us to open it because God wants to speak to us. Now the reason God wants his word in our heart is because of Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Now what does the world teach us about our heart today? Oh, you just follow your heart. Oh, I know you've got a good heart. God says there's none good. No, not one. Well, you're negative. No, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And that includes me, by the way. There's none good. No, not one. My heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. My heart will lie to me. Your heart will lie to you. And the only way I can trust is by making sure that the Word of God is in there, that I have hidden it in my heart, and that I know what God wants me to do. Because does God want you to know what to do? Absolutely he does. And so the only way to overcome our wicked, desperate, you know, our deceitful heart and our wicked heart is by placing the Word of God there. The only person that knows your heart even today is God. I do not know my own heart right now, but I know what the Bible says about it. Therefore, I cannot trust my heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, here's the thing. We have people growing up in church, you know, Christians, that say, I want my children to serve the Lord. I want my children to love the Lord. But they never tell their children who the Lord is. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. By teaching our children the Word of God, can we save them from heartache? We can at least give them the tools they need to avoid heartache. We can give them the tools and the information that they need to be able to make wise decisions in their lives. But if we neglect to give them the Word of God, we are setting them up for failure. We are casting them out to the devil. Here, you do it. I ain't got time for this. And again, as I've mentioned many times, we will all stand before the Lord and give an account. I will, you will. And there's a lot of things I know I don't want to be standing before the Lord for. I really don't. But it's going to happen no matter what I want. The best thing I can do is prepare myself to stand before him, to where I won't be ashamed and confess the things that I did wrong. Expecting our children to be perfect, I think I've mentioned this not too long ago. They're not going to be perfect because you're not perfect. Don't expect them to do things that you're not willing to do. If you want your children to read the Bible, if you want your children to go to church, be the example. Show them how. Let them see you. You want your children to pray? How many of you think your children ought to pray? You know, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Hey, we've got to teach our children how to pray. Now, I realize there's some repetitious prayers that our children may know about blessing the food and things of that nature. Or, you know, when you go to sleep, make sure they don't get caught up in vain repetitions. See, the whole idea of Jesus teaching them to pray was to give them a starter prayer. This is the basics. This is what you need to cover first. But God never intended it for that to be the only thing we say. And yet, how many people can recite the Lord, you know, the model prayer, but they don't add to it? It's just like you. If I came to you every single day and all I said to you was the same whatever, you would know if I walked up to you, oh, great, here comes Brother Beck. He's going to say this. And you might say something, watch, he's going to say this. You know, watch out, he's going to say this. I'm telling you, every word he's going to say. Is that a conversation? Is that communication? No. That's a vain repetition. When we talk to the Lord, our prayer life should expand. It's not always going to be, it's not talking about a long prayer, short prayer. It's just talking about really talking to God. And who better to teach our children to pray than ourselves? By praying with them. Showing them how to pray. By the way, letting them pray. Reading the scriptures. Read the scriptures to them. Let them read the scriptures as well, out loud. Give them an opportunity. Encourage them. Put a desire in their heart where they want to do these things. So that it's not something that one day they're just smacked in the face. All right, now you're an adult. You need to serve God. Well, I haven't been serving God. But yet we live the way that we expect them to do that without even having them prepared. God wants us to prepare our children. God doesn't want our children to be foreigners and strangers to God. He wants them to know who he is from the time of birth, or even before that, actually. I mean, you can read to the child in the womb. I believe the child hears that. I really do. Why? Because it's a living human. Amen. God's creation in that womb. They can hear. They'll tell you to play music to your plants, won't they? Hello? I didn't see any ears on a plant other than a corn, you know, a corn stalk. But if plants can hear, why can't our children in the womb hear? And faith cometh by? And hearing by the word of God. Well, I want my child to have a relationship and walk with the Lord. Well, he needs to see it in you. She needs to see it in you. And by the way, this is for all parents. Not just dads. All parents. The only sad thing, I say sad, it's really a blessing and an opportunity. Dads, we're going to be held accountable for our families. Many men have shirked the responsibility of being the spiritual leader to their wife. They say, I don't want to do it. I'm lazy. I got my stuff I want to do. They leave it to mama. Well, I'm glad mom's doing it. I'm glad mom stepped up. But your house is out of order. And all you're doing is teaching confusion to your children. And God doesn't want them to be confused. God wants them to be able to see the right example. The right example. So when we think of all these things, when we look at what's taking place, we need to be ready to teach the Word of God, share the Word of God, contemplate and reflect on the Word of God throughout the day, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Does anyone want to give me your idea or your guess as to why it says at the end of verse 7 when thou liest down and when thou risest up? Why is it in that order? Why wouldn't it be when thou risest up and when thou lay down? Because the evening and the morning were the first day. A lot of times we think our day starts when we wake up. No, your day should have started the night before. Getting your minds and your hearts ready. This is why I tell people, listen, on Saturdays, get your heart prepared for Sunday. Because Saturdays, because you're working all week, Saturday is a busy day for many people. And if we're not careful, we won't prepare our hearts for Sunday, and then we'll wonder why we starve to death on Sunday, spiritually speaking. We need to get our hearts and minds set. All right, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. We need to be ready. We need to get good rest. You know, there's a lot of children that can't come to church because how late it is. But yet they can stay up all night. They can go to movies real late. They can go to games. It'll keep them up real late. But yet they can't come to church. We want them to get the rest. Well, they need the rest. But they need to be in church. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to be taught the right priorities in their lives. And that can only come by doing what God tells us to do with His Word here. Amen? Think about that. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. I have seen marriages, I have seen homes that claim to be Christian. When someone in the family asks a question about the Bible, especially they take the question to the father, who is the head of the house, the father tells them to be quiet. Foolish. Foolish. Verse 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Your children are going to have questions. Don't shut them up. Don't tell them to be quiet. Don't tell them, well, look it up yourself. You ever heard people do that? Don't bother me is basically what they're saying. I don't have time for you. If your child is asking you about the Lord, if your child is asking about the Word of God, you better make time. Because if not, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. How many kids have we lost already? Generations. Verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the word, of the world rather, excuse me. Egypt is a type of the world. It's slavery. Remember that? And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Have you shared with your children your testimony of salvation? How many of you remember my testimony when I told you when I got saved, I called back home? I was excited, wanted to share with my parents. I was in Spain calling on a payphone, my dad and mom, to let them know I got saved. And not to shame my dad, but just to tell you how he was raised, I said, Dad, I got saved. He said, Son, well, I was saved when I was 13. I'd never heard that before. Never heard it. He never told me how to be saved. Do you know why? He wasn't trained. He wasn't taught. No one told him it was his responsibility to teach me that I needed to be saved. No one told him that he ought to be sharing with me the Word of God. Again, I'm not doing this to condemn my dad or to shame him. My dad did the best he could with the knowledge that he had. But I guarantee you my dad's not that way anymore. But that's what made up my mind. Because I realized I could have died in my sins and gone to hell, not even having heard the gospel from my parents. My mom was not saved. And so she didn't understand what I was talking about. Thank the Lord, she got saved in 2000. Amen. God brought cancer into her life to help her to see that she needed a Savior. I witnessed to my mom time and time again. She wouldn't listen to me. She'd get mad at me. We were still members over at Big Temple when I was going to Crown College. And I remember some ladies came to our house. One of the ladies was Mrs. Miller. I think she used to work as a secretary down at the school. But they talked to my mom. They led her to the Lord. I had mixed feelings. I wanted to lead my mom to the Lord. But the biggest, greatest blessing was my mom got saved. Amen. But she was raised not hearing the word of God. She was raised not being taught that you need to be born again. She was taught you got to be good. You got to hope that you can hold out to the end and that your good outweighs your bad. Brothers and sisters, we have a great privilege, opportunity, and responsibility of teaching our family the word of God. But it's just like if I were to show up at Brother Randy's class and try to teach history, I am not a history expert. I would ruin his class. Okay? But the thing is, how can we teach something that we don't know? Study to show thyself approved. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What made the difference in Timothy's life? His mom, his grandmother, sharing with him the scriptures. Maybe the husband isn't the spiritual leader in your home, or maybe there's not a husband because of situations, whatever it may be. Moms, teach your kids the word of God. If dad is at home, dad, you need to teach your children the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Our children need to hear it, and it will make them wise unto salvation, as we read in 2 Timothy. Amen? All right, let's do all we can, brothers and sisters. Let's keep up. It is a worthy fight. Heartache, griping, discontentment, all that's going to try to take place. But we've got to keep pushing forward. We've got to stay faithful if we want God to do a work in our family. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly ponder what you have taught us, what is written and forever settled in your word. Lord, I do not know what the status is of any of the families here, but Lord, I know that no matter what, you are able to overcome, you are able to give the victory. Father, you're able to open up the doors of heaven and pour down blessings. Father, please protect our children. Please protect our grandchildren. Help us, Father, to realize that as much as we love them, you love them more. That they're your children. And that, Lord, you have entrusted us with a great honor and privilege and responsibility to prepare them to know you, to teach them about you. I pray your will be done in all of our families, that you would help us. If there's those that haven't been doing it, encourage them, Father, to start now. Maybe people have gotten away from doing it. Lord, help them to return. Lord, we need you. We need you in our church. We need you in our homes. We need you in our hearts and minds. Father, please have your will and way. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.